Well, Anthony, thanks for joining us as we look ahead to the SSE electricity action this weekend. Restricted programme in the Premier Division on account of European commitments for a number of clubs. But let's look at the First Division in a little bit more detail. And FinnHarps, well, it's a case of Discover Ireland for FinnHarps. Three away games on the trot. Cork this weekend and next weekend, and then Limerick. But let's just look at this weekend's game against the league leaders. And fair to say, Anthony, that Cork pretty much have the title in the bag with a bit to go.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's quite similar to last season in the First Division when we'd Galway running away with it. But, you know, to be fair, like Cork City getting relegated, it was a bit of a shock last year. That they came through, that they didn't come through the playoffs. But if you look at, say, so Cork are runaway, obviously, but the teams in and around them, Athlone, UCD, FinnHarps, Bray, like they're very, very close together. There's only, you know, 3 points separating second and fourth, and then Bray are another 3 points behind that. But I think from a FinnHarps point of view, they'll be delighted with the way the season has gone. So, Cork City aside, you know, it's been a very tight, division, and you know, we've seen a big improvement in the Kerry team as well, and you know, it's been a tough First Division, you know, for a lot of the clubs. Like the games have been competitive, and I think FinnHarps and Darren Murphy will be delighted the way that their season has gone so far.
Absolutely, and you know, as you say, it's a tight old league. There's been a lot of draws, and I'm just looking at the recent form of the teams. Aside from Cork, who've won four out of their last five and drawn one, Athlone have strung together two wins in a row. Nobody else in the last five games has won two wins in a row, so it's hard to get any sort of run in this league.
It is, and traditionally, whether it's the Premier Division or the First Division, the team that can put together a string of ones, like, you know, maybe three or four in a row, it puts himself in a really good position in terms of promotion or playoff places. You know, we even look at the Premier Division, we're touching that for a wee bit. Like Derry City went through a period there where they had four ones in a row, which really put them right in behind Shelburne. And like that, if you look at like the Harps' recent form, you know, they've won two of their last eight, but they've only lost two in that with four draws. And one thing about Harps this season, which has impressed me, Chris, has been their resilience. You know, they've had some good battling displays, and they're never really beat, and they keep playing, and they've a good fitness level, they've a good desire to get results, and you know, I think it's easy to say it, but I think a lot of credit must go to Darren Murphy and his coaching staff for the squad that he's assembled and the results and the performances that FinnHarps have given.
Yeah, and he has made the point on several occasions about, you know, to be competitive in every game, and they pretty much have. I was looking there at the end of last season, Anthony, Harps finished with 37 points, ninth in the table. They're currently on 34 points with 13 games left to play. So in the next couple of weeks, they're going to exceed last year's total points tally. So that just reflects how much they have come on.
Yeah, massive improvement for the football team this year, and a real change in fortunes for them. And you know, I suppose looking at Harps as well, like they wouldn't be flush with cash, and I'm sure their budget wouldn't be up there with some of the bigger clubs in that league. But what they have done, what Darren has done, he's built a great team spirit among the players, and you know, there's a good local element to the team as well, which is very important. And like I look at, say, clubs like FinnHarps, and when you have a local element among the playing squad, like it brings a bit of an identity back to the football club. And I think over the last couple of years, maybe they'd lost a bit of that, Chris. You know, I think to have local players around next to the football club, and you know, it does give a club back an identity that maybe they'd lost, especially last season, you know, when things weren't going well, and there was obviously a large influx of players at the start of that the 23 season. So I think Darren looked at it, and he's seen that how important that local players were to the football club. And, you know, you look at the amount of young players that he's brought through. And it's not just Darren, I suppose, it's the work from the underage coaches as well, and identifying these players and putting the time and effort into them and bringing them through. And I think it's the Finn Harps are seeing the benefits of an awful lot of good work. And it's not just the Finn Harps coaches, but, you know, at underage level, throughout the county, there's a lot of work being put in at schoolboy level, and Finn Harps are reaping the benefits of that at the minute.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about, you know, pathways within the game and the academy up there, and certainly, as you've touched on there, for youngsters, you know, when they see guys that they know and play with making that breakthrough, that gives them all a big incentive and is encouraging as well. Anthony, looking at this Cork side, you know, Harps going down this weekend, the old cliche, I suppose anything will be a bonus here. Cork, 2 weeks in a row, then they've got the cup game. You know, you've been there before when you play a team twice in a row. You know, how does that affect players? What's the mindset going into this sort of game?
It's very difficult because even, you know, as a player or as a coach, when you're preparing to play an opponent two games in a row, like, it's very difficult. If you're expected to win the game, it's actually difficult to get two victories, like, because, you know, obviously you mightn't think it, but there is obviously a bit of an eye on the next game, and then if Harps were going down there on Friday night and, you know, you're playing the team top of the league who've only lost one game all season, and, you know, it's the cup game then the following week, it's very different because everybody wants a good cup run, and then when, you know, Cork City, the way that they are, they'd be prepared to give a rest a few players for the league's obviously their priority, and their, you know, their ultimate aim is to get promotion, but they've built up such a cushion, you know, a 15-point lead at this stage of the season. So, you know, I would say they'll be going full strength, but from a Finn Harps point of view, like, it's very difficult to go down there 2 weeks in a row and try and pick up two results, because ultimately you're playing against a superior team with, you know, more experience and more quality. So it's all about your preparation and your desire and what you bring out of the league game, what you can bring into the cup game, and can, if you see any opportunities at all from the previous week, can you bring that into the next game? So I'm sure as a player, it's a challenge for the players, and, you know, the experienced players in the Harps team, they'll be relishing that challenge where they're going to go and play the league leaders 2 weeks in a row, and they'll certainly be looking and hopefully trying to get something from the games.
And for a club like Harps with a relatively small squad, and, you know, some of the players have other commitments as well, I dare say for Darren Murphy, it's highly unlikely he's going to be able to field the same team twice. You know, there's going to be variables there.
Yeah, and from a professional point of view as well, Chris, obviously from a financial point of view, it's important for football clubs to get good runs in the FAI Cup, because that ultimately leads to a bit of interest and increase in excitement around the club. But like that, you know, you're talking about players with commitments. You know, it's highly unlikely that Finn Harps will be able to afford the opportunity of an overnight stay down in Cork, which every other club travelling that sort of distance would. And Finn Harps have to be very clever in terms of their budget and what they're spending on travelling that and overnight stays, because of the fact that, you know, the amount of travelling that they have to do, and, like, overnight stays eats into the playing budget. And, you know, having previous conversations with Darren about this, you know, it's one where you have to be very careful in terms of, you know, what you expect out of the game, and what, you know, it's one of them where it's a difficult place to go at the best of times, and then, you know, the added expense of travelling to Cork and you know, possible overnight stays, it all eats into the budget, and that's something that Darren Murphy and the club would have looked at the start of the season. But it's a game to relish, especially the cup game, where, you know, the pressures of the league aren't on the players' minds, and they can go down and maybe relax and enjoy it a bit more. And that's the games, like when you are relaxed, you probably play better.
Yeah. So just looking at, and finally at this weekend's game, Cork go into it, 8 home wins, 3 draws, undefeated at Turner's Cross. Harps have won 3 games on the road. Fair to say that Harps would grab a point?
I think you're right, Chris. You know, and as I said earlier, like the one thing Finn Harps are is they are resilient, and when they can stay in a game, you know, and games where they've been behind, like as long as they're only one goal behind, like they are quite dogged and quite resilient in terms of you know, pegging goals back. So I would say going down to Cork is very important that they do stay in the game for as long as possible. Obviously, you are facing a daunting task of playing the league leaders unbeaten at home and with only one defeat all season. And they don't concede many goals as well, Chris, and only 9 conceded all year. But in saying that, Finn Harps are quite a mean defence themselves. Like, they've only conceded 24 goals. But the problem, obviously, is they've only scored 24 as well. So, so listen, it is a daunting task, but I'm sure that if Darren will begin preparing the players, you know, try and get them stay in the game as long as possible, and you never know what might happen.
And just looking briefly at the other fixtures, Athlone are at home to Longford, and certainly Athlone going well. They were a little bit inconsistent last season. Sometimes they were very good, and then they dropped a few points, surprisingly. It's Kerry against Bray, UCD against Treaty, and Wexford against Cove. Anthony, in the Premier Division, with a number of clubs in European action, it's a restricted programme this weekend, but nevertheless, some interesting games. Just looking at them, Bowes against Sligo Rovers, 8th against 6th, and both sides, I suppose, just nervously looking at the sides below them. They still need a few points from now to the end of the season just to steer clear of any relegation worries.
Yeah, I think you look at Bowes and Sligo. I think Bowes are in a position that they wouldn't have envisaged at the start of the season, Chris. I'm sure their aims at the start of the year were to be challenging Shamrock Rovers and Derry City at the top end of the league. So to see them in 8th place at the minute, it'll be a disappointing season for them. Sligo Rovers, on the other hand, like they've really sort of turned it around a wee bit. You know, John Ross, to be fair, they had a really good start to the season where they went a lot of games unbeaten. I think they were maybe top or maybe first or second after 7 or 8 games. But, you know, they went in a bit of a bad run then. But they turned it around. John Russell has turned it around. And, you know, they're sitting in 6th. And they're only 3 points behind Shamrock Rovers. And I think if you had said to John Russell at the start of the season, or Sligo, you know, come the summer, you're going to be 3 points behind Shamrock Rovers, I'm sure he would have taken their hand off. But it's a big game for Sligo because, you know, they're in the back of that victory over Derry City last weekend, and, you know, a last-minute winner, it's a great way to win a game. Terrible way to lose a game, but Sligo will be, you know, certainly buoyed by that result last week.
Yeah, and having beaten Shamrock Rovers as well recently, I suppose it's a time of the season, you know, Sligo could be very much on the up or consolidate, we shall see. Dundalk against Drogheda at Oriel Park, that's certainly the relegation battle. Would you feel come the end of the season that it'll be Dundalk in that playoff position with Drogheda making the automatic drop?
It looks like at the minute, Chris. You know, I think John Daly coming into Dundalk has maybe give them a wee bit of a bounce. You know, it's been very difficult for them teams. Like, it's so difficult in the Premier Division anyway, you know, because there has been quite a bit of money about the league the last number of years, and I just think Dundalk have a wee bit more quality than what Drogheda have. Drogheda have a good bit of experience about them, but I just think that Dundalk's the bit of quality they have, and obviously the bounce impact from the new manager, it should see them should see them safe from relegation. I think, you know, you're looking at Drogheda possibly, you know, not having enough about them to catch Dundalk.
And finally, who would have thought at this stage of the campaign Galway would be 3rd, Waterford 5th? So huge credit to both sides.
Yeah, really, really good. And I think, you know, having watched Galway quite a few times this year, again, it shows, and again, like we spoke about giving credit to Darren Murphy earlier about the job he's done at Finn Harps, but you know, you can't talk about Galway United and not heap praise on John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan for the job they've done there. Runaway league winners last year in the first division, and they've come up into the Premier Division, and they've done really well. And it's the organisation skills that they have, that the manager and the coach have there at Galway, you know. And what if you watch Galway, you can see how well drilled they are, and the players, everyone knows the jobs that they have to do. And I think if Galway had a more natural goal scorer about them, like they've only scored 18 goals all season, Chris. I think if they had a player that was capable of getting 10, 12 goals this season, you would see them maybe right up and behind, certainly up and or touching 40 points at this stage anyway.
No sign of Johnny Glynn coming out of retirement, but
they could do with Johnny Glynn.
Waterford, by contrast to Galway's style, have been very much attack-minded, and they tend to go for it.
Waterford have done really well. They made a brilliant sign in the close season. They signed Padraig Amond, a real experienced player, scored a lot of goals over in England as well. And, you know, he's come back now in the twilight of his career, but a proven centre-forward, Chris. And I think he's only second behind Patrick Hooban in terms of goal scoring. You know, you look at Waterford and the position that they're in the league. You wouldn't, Nick, no one would have expected that at the start of the season, but it shows the importance of having a player, a natural goal scorer,